بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوه في إحسان إلى يوم الدين. Tonight, the 6th of Shawwal 14-19, we're going to be continuing talking about Tawheed from the book of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. We have stopped the explanation before the start of the month of Ramadan, and now inshaAllah we're going to pick up and to continue the explanation of this very important book. Tonight we're going to start the path with the chapter, the fourth chapter, which is saying الخوف من الشرك. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. The fourth chapter in that book, الخوف من الشرك, which means to be fear from shirk, to fear falling into shirk. What does shirk mean? To worship anything other than Allah. Shirk. With Allah, other than Allah. You know, have you heard this word shirk before, Akhil Uthman? Shirk, it means in English polytheism. And it means partnership. Somebody to make partners with Allah. Allah is alone. He is the only one who created everything. When somebody says there is another creator, he is making partners with Allah. So he is practicing shirk. Also, if somebody says this deity is worthy of worship, he can worship this and that and the other. But we know in Islam, in the teaching of Islam, the only God worthy of worship is the our Creator, Allah. So when somebody worships anything with Allah, he is making partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. He is making partners. This is called shirk. What are the types of shirk? Major shirk or minor shirk? Yeah, هذا الشرك هب. So major shirk, minor shirk, and hidden shirk. الشرك الأكبر والشرك الأصغر والشرك الهب. الشرك الأكبر, the major shirk, when somebody does something, he is making partners with Allah in his lordship, meaning in his the ability to create. In his worship, when somebody makes partner with Allah in ascribing partners to him worthy of worship. Or when somebody says, anyone has the same quality as Allah Azza wa Jal. This is called major shirk. Whoever does a major shirk, he is a disbeliever. And if a person dies with major shirk, he will be admitted to hellfire for eternity. So when people say, Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary, the son of Maryam, he is the son of Allah, he is divine just like Allah, that means this person is committing a major shirk. When somebody says, this and this God can create, we were not created by God. Or there's God who creates and there's another thing that can create. This person is committing major shirk. And we have minor shirk. Minor shirk means it's not important. If people do it, it's not important. Right? No? Yes or no? So what does why is it called minor shirk? Yes. Well, you are, mashallah, right on target. This is the first time you attend, right? Not only, it's not as important as major shirk, right? But it means shirk in of itself. Let me ask the question, which is more severe in nature? Minor shirk or major sin? Which one is more important? If somebody swears by his father, he says, by my father I did not do that. This is taking an oath with other than the name of Allah. As we know, whoever takes an oath with other than the name of Allah is committing an act of shirk. Which one is more severe in nature? For somebody to make such an oath, or with somebody to commit an act of fornication? The oath. Because minor shirk, don't let the name mess up our understanding. Minor shirk is more severe in nature than major shirk. So here, in the fourth chapter of this book, the author of this book has a very good sequence. First he talks about tawheed, that every one of us has to establish tawheed. Then he talks about the virtues and the merits of tawheed. First he talks about whoever established tawheed will enter paradise without any reckoning. And now we are talking about fear from shirk. That means if somebody established tawheed, that does not mean he is guaranteed not to do shirk. Even though tawheed is the salvation by which we enter paradise. The tawheed is the salvation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything you do is subject to the forgiveness of Allah azza wa jalla. Everything you do is subject to the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. But tawheed, if a person dies, the shirk is not subject to the forgiveness unless a person repents from it. So our salvation is to establish tawheed, and by the mercy and the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal, we make it to paradise. The format of the lesson is to put the questions all the way to the end, and at the last of the lesson, we allow about 10-15 minutes to answer the questions, to, for us not to disturb the continuation of the lecture. So here it says the first ayah in this book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily, Allah does not forgive association and taking partners with him, and anything else, Allah forgives it to whomever he wants to forgive. So from this ayah, where Allah says he does not forgive association, he does not forgive shirk. Does that refer to major, minor, hidden, or only major, or only minor, or what does it refer to? All kinds of shirk. So if Allah does not refer minor shirk, does not forgive minor shirk, that means we really have to be careful about committing an act of shirk. Because if we do not repent from it, Allah will punish us. But the scholars of Al-Islam, they have different views. In his tragedy, is this ayah referred to major shirk or all kinds of shirk? Even Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, sometimes he says statements that from which we can understand that this ayah refers to all types of shirk. And he said some statements in different areas in his writing that give us to understand that this ayah refers to only major shirk. But at any rate, and in any case, if Allah does not forgive shirk, you have to be very careful from committing an act of shirk. Because a person can commit an act of shirk without knowing. We have people For example, in Egypt. Right? Who is from Egypt? Nobody? The easiest thing they say, what? When they want to wear a Nabi. When Nabi. Now, a Mus'haf, something else, because the Mus'haf is the attribute of Allah. But if they say a Nabi, by the Prophet. والنبي وحياته وحياة أبوه وعندك من لبنان وسوريا وحياة أبوه وحياة أمه they say that I'm you tell them I did this and this and this they say by your father you did that by your mother you did that That is a shirk because you can only make oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot make oath by Tom, Dick and Harry. That is shirk. من حلف قد يحلف بالله ومن حلف بغير الله فقد أشرك. So we have a form of shirk that is practiced by the people. This is shirk. It's not major shirk, it's minor shirk, because the person is not making the oath with the intention of worshipping the father, the mother, or the prophet. But this nevertheless is minor shirk. The people will say, but we don't mean it as that. It does not matter whether you mean it or not. You have to purify yourself from practices of shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us to purify us. One person came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Insha'Allah wa shirk. This good time he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him, if Allah will and you will, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to him and he said, did you make your promise to Allah? Did you make your promise to Allah? And he was poking him in his chin. Even though the companion did not mean any association in his speech. He did not mean to practice association. And that was very far from his mind. But he was respecting the Prophet. And the Prophet said, if you make your partner to Allah, say, if Allah will, and then if the Prophet will. Do not make my will and the will of Allah at the same level. Of the same status. You say, if Allah will, and then if you will, it will happen. So this is an act of shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He does not forgive practices of shirk, and He forgives anything else. What does it mean to you, you and me? If Allah does not forgive shirk, that means in the day of judgment, if the shirk we do, major shirk will go in, to be in hellfire for eternity, God forbid. And if the practices of shirk we do is minor shirk, we're going to be punished for it. Punished in the hellfire. Therefore, we have to be afraid from falling into committing shirk. And how can we protect ourselves not to fall into the action of shirk? By education. Why those people are saying, O Nabi, wahyatak, wahyati, wahyat ummat, wahyat abu? Why are they saying that? Because they are knowledgeable in religion or because they are ignorant? Because they are ignorant. As they say, Azhar al-Himari and Ahliya. They are ignorant in those practices. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ أن لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Also the second ayah that the author brought where Ibrahim said to Allah when he was making dua to Allah, May Allah prevent me and keep me and my son from worshipping idols. Keep me and my son from worshipping idols. Who is doing that? Who is making this dua? Ibrahim, who is Ibrahim? Ibrahim is the one who went to the statue and destroyed all of him. And when they asked him about who did that, he said, the big one. The big one did it. Ibrahim is the establisher of Tawheed. Ibrahim is the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are his sons? Ismail is a prophet and Ya'qub is a prophet. It's not any people and his sons. If he is saying and making dua for him to be protected from falling into worshipping idols, so what do we have to do about our sons? He himself, the one who destroyed the idol, is afraid of worshipping the idol. He's afraid of falling into the practices of shirk. So what do we have to do about ourselves? We find a lot of Muslims, they say, we're not going to do shirk. What are you talking about? But are you crazy? We're not going to do all of those things. So have your forefather Ibrahim was making dua to Allah to keep him from worshipping the idols. And he is the one who broke the idols. He is the one who called into humanity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who struggled in bringing Tawheed pure to the people. He is the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if this is the case with Ibrahim and his children, then we have to be very in a supplication mode all the time to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to prevent us from falling into practices of shirk. We have to work to call upon Allah Azza wa Jalla to save us from the practice of shirk. Then the author brought another hadith where it says, أَخْوَقُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ فَسُئِلَ عَنْهُ فَقَالَ الرِّيَاءُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what I fear for you the most is minor shirk. He asked him, what is that minor shirk? He told him, showing off. Showing off is a minor shirk. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking, who was he talking to? He was talking to his people, his companions. And consequently, he's talking to all of us. The thing that he is afraid for us the most is minor shirk. Because a person, after he moves himself from disbelief and comes into the status of al-Islam, he's not going to worship a tree, to worship a child, inshallah, because he is aware of the severity of such action. But he might overlook other things. He might overlook the minorship, which is showing up. What is showing up? Showing up is to do something to show up. To do something for the people to say, he is generous. You're going to give money not for the purpose to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, but for the purpose to say about such and such person, he is generous. A person will practice the recitation of the Quran, not for the purpose of be with a Sahara Kiram al-Barara, not for the purpose to be with the angel, not for the purpose of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, but for the purpose of getting a reputation. He is a good disciple. This is shown up. A person comes to the masjid and prays, not for the purpose of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, but for the people to look at him and say, he is nice and he knows how to pray. A person comes to another person and advises him, not for the purpose of advising him and correcting this religion, but for the purpose of making a mark on his brother. I know better than you. See, I know more than you. To establish some type of superiority to the brother. All of that are action of showing up. And why is it shirk? The purpose for which it is shirk. Because when you worship Allah, what is the purpose you are trying to achieve out of this worship? To come closer to Allah. to worship Allah, to come closer to Allah, to please Him. When a person is showing off, he's not trying to please Allah, he's trying to please the people. When he is trying to please the people, this is where the element of shirk. Instead of pleasing Allah, he is trying to please the people. Whereas his intention should be to please Allah. Therefore, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith, the divine hadith, he said, I am in no need of any partner. Whoever does an action and bring a partner with me into that action, I will leave him, not accept all of his actions. Allah does not need any partner. If you do an action and bring a partner to Allah with this action, Allah is not in need for the entirety of the action, will not accept it. So if somebody gives charity for the purpose of getting reputation, he is generous. Now Allah does not accept his charity. If somebody goes to war and he's fighting the disbeliever, but not for the purpose of being strong in the religion, to support the religion, but for the purpose of getting the reputation that he is a hero, his action is here on point. And he's going to get the reputation that he's going to heal, but he's not going to get any reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named the showing off to be shirk. The righteous predecessors, they used to say, the most difficult thing that we have to struggle against is to protect our sincerity, to make sure that we are sincere in our actions. To for always to put our sincerity in the check point. The most severe thing that we have to do is to make sure that we are sincere. Because otherwise we're going to render our actions null and void. Therefore the righteous predecessor, they always used to struggle in order to make sure that their worship is pure and is free from any association. Because Allah does not forgive association. So a person who is showing up, he is getting two things. The first thing, his action is now void. Secondly, he is committing an act of shirk, and an act of shirk is sin. So not only rendering his deeds now void, but he is committing a sin, because he is practicing association. Therefore, I, Ikhwani, remind myself, I remind you, the importance of keeping your sincerity in the check all through the day. Make sure when you are doing something that you are doing it for the sake of Allah, to please Allah. You're not doing it for the sake of getting praise from people. You're not doing it for the sake of bringing yourself up in a high status. Not for the purpose of being in the path life. We have to protect our sincerity, because verily it's very important, and one of the most difficult practice is to keep our sincerity. Therefore, the righteous predecessors, they always use to check their sincerity. Always. Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, the one who was given the glass packing to go to paradise, he went to Hudhayfa ibn Yaman. Hudhayfa ibn Yaman is the secret keeper of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked him, I asked you by Allah, did the Prophet name me from the hypocrite? Told him no. And this is Umar ibn Khattab. We have another person who was not a companion, but he met a lot of companions. He said, I met 30 of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each one of them, he was afraid that he's in hypocrite. He is showing off. And this hadith in Al-Bukhari. So the companion used to be fearful from doing shirk, fearful from falling into shirk, fearful from rendering their actions now unvoiced, fearful from doing showing off actions. Because there is to be a state of shirk is important. Also we have the hadith. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ نِدَّى دَخَلَ النَّارِ. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ نِدَّى دَخَلَ النَّارِ. Whoever dies calling partners with Allah will enter the hellfire. Very straightforward. Whoever dies calling with Allah partners will enter the hellfire. So if somebody goes to a certain grave, and that grave there's a righteous person buried in that grave, and he goes to it and he stands next to the grave and say, oh so and so, I asked you to make my wife pregnant. So and so and so, I asked you to give me money. He is calling partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is not an imaginary situation. You go to, you get a pick on you. You go to Egypt. You see the graves of CD so and so and CD so and so and CD so and so all over the place. And the people standing around it. Oh so and so, we ask you to do this for us. We ask you to do this for us. You go to Lebanon, the same thing. To Syria, the same thing. This is.
They see that this person
is supposed to be
very religious.
Yeah, what has happened? The people go to those people, and this is, they are calling partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, because the person who is in the grave cannot bring any good to you. If he was able to bring good to you, he would keep himself alive. He will keep him. Why didn't he was not able to keep himself alive? For him to do more good deeds. He cannot bring good to you, nor he can keep evil from before you, nor you can take him as intermediary to come to Allah. You cannot say to him, I ask Allah by this person. Even though those two situations are different. When a person says, and I ask the person in the grave to give me things, this is major shirk. But if he goes to the person who is in the grave and he says, I ask Allah by this person to give me certain things, this is minor shirk. Because now he is asking Allah, but he is asking and he is using something that is not effective. And we have talked about that before. He is using something that Allah does not legislate to make it effective. So say, I ask Allah by CD, what's his name? The Hussein. By CD this, by CD that. That is minor shirk. If you go to the grave of Sheikh al-Hajjid, say I ask you, oh Sheikh al-Hajjid, this is Ibn Arabi, to give me this and this and that, this is minor shirk. This is what the people who worship al-Awthan used to do. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever dies calling partners with Allah will enter the hellfire. Here a dua, calling means a dua. A dua, you have to remember this word, a dua. Meaning also calling to invoke, to supplicate. This al dua is into two categories. Dua al mas'ala, wa dua al ibadah. Dua al ibadah. هو الصلاة والصيام والحج والزكاة لأن العبادة دعاء ودعاء المسألة أن تسأل غير الله سبحانه وتعالى فأما دعاء العبادة فمن وجه العبادة إلى غير الله سبحانه وتعالى فقد أشرك وخرج من الملة من صلى لغير الله من ذبح لغير الله من صام لغير الله وأما دعاء المسألة فإما أن يكون شركا وإما أن لا يكون شركا فإذا الإنسان سأل أخيه أن يأتيه بكأس من الماء فهذا ليس بالشرك ولكن إذا سأل الإنسان أن يقوم بأشياء لا يستطيع بها إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى فهذا الشرك. This calling is to two types. Calling which is act of worship and calling for questioning. The calling which is an act of worship includes the act of worship that we do, praying, fasting, making giving zakat, making hajj. If anybody does any of those things to other than Allah, he is committing major shirk. If somebody prays to other than Allah, if somebody fasts from sunrise to sunset but is not fasting to Allah, he's fasting for other than Allah, he's committing major shirk. The other type of dua, calling, invoking, is to invoke to ask people. This questioning could be shirk and could be normal. If somebody asks a person to give him a cup of water, this has no problem with it. But if you ask a human being to do something for you that only Allah can do, then that will be shirk. If you ask a human being to create light, the human being cannot create light, and so on and so forth. So whoever dies calling partners with Allah Azza wa Jal will enter the hellfire. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who call upon Allah Azza wa Jal, as Allah ordained us in the Quran to call upon Him. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord say, call upon me and I will answer you. So call upon your Lord. Do not be afraid. Call Him to give you what? What do people call upon their Lord to give them? Money. Huh? Guidance, that's very important.
Wealth.
Heaven. A wife. Everything you want, Allah has it. Do not hesitate. Allah has everything in abundance. Even the...